Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 482. Science Faction, I call BS.
I'm still a little upset after last week.
When you lost? I gave you a great opportunity to, by
when
the way.
You went off the board. Now, I believe in the rules, you will say, like the way you would read the rules, verbatim from the rule book. Yeah. The answer was either science or bad science. You have never given the option of a third option, which was we don't know.
True. But we didn't know, so that was the correct answer,
well,
Damien.
Then,
I know
that was a poor question. Then that's a
I know
poor...
you want to manipulate reality to suit your own needs, but that's not what science does, and that's not what we do here on Science Faction. So snap to it, son, because it's not participation trophy time, okay? You got to do the actual work.
I swear to God, if those redwoods survive that fire, I am driving up to Northern California and lighting them up so you can never enjoy them with your kid.
Just chopping them down. Just comically, too, with like an axe where it would take 4.5 days.
I'm doing it Van Damme style. I'm kicking it.
And speaking of kicking it, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy, and somebody who's never allowed to kick it, my comedian Damien Mercado. Damien, how you doing this afternoon?
I am doing great. I'm not allowed to kick it because I'm considered lame.
No, yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm wealthy. And the 80s bad guy. Also, you know, my father put a lot of people, a lot of jobs here in town.
This is a true story. I have listened to the Jurassic 5 song with Damien in the car, where it's like, can I kick it? And then the refrain is, yes, you can. Only, like, literally, when you listen to it with him in the car, it's like, can I kick it? And there's just a guy going, probably not.
With Damien? No!
It's amazing what they can do with technology nowadays.
Wow, that hurts. It doesn't happen when anybody else listens to it.
Oh, hey, speaking of which, before we jump on to the articles this week, I just want to clarify. So I got a couple of emails this week because Damien decided to break down the fourth wall a little bit last week. On his own accord, he went off the rails. He went Maverick, Sarah Palin on me. He started talking about how we do a little bit of how we do the show, a little bit of how the sausage is made. And we mentioned how he does get the I call BS technically before the show. But it is like, so I want to clarify this because somebody was saying, hey, he always complains, but then he just admitted he gets it before the show. It is literally... in between shows, we tape the two shows on the same day. In between the two, as we're setting one up, I go through the questions really quickly, and then he gets a couple of minutes essentially to think of a funny answer. But it's not like he has them the day before.
The couple of minutes are spent talking about dicks or whatever we're talking about in the introduction, because we roll right into it. So it's not like I get time with my thoughts.
Yeah, no, and it's not like, I think they got the impression like you got it earlier in the morning or like you're not alone with it. It's presented right before we hit air.
No, I have told Bobby that, listen, I will play the WWE bad guy. Yeah. Listen, that's what I'm volunteering to get kicked in the groin anyway. I might as well, you know, just let me see the question or at least let me know what it's going to be about. And Bobby is the same character that he is on air. He is this way in real life, knowing full well, like even in private, knowing full well that I know this is bullshit. He clings to it with a smile on his face. That is the human being we're dealing with.
Integrity is not a character, Damien. It's a character trait, and I possess it, and I value it. And the integrity that I have, not only for myself and the show, but for our fan base, would not allow me to cheat at this game the way you so flippantly wish to cheat at this and life in general.
You are the Sacha Baron Cohen of science podcasting, comedy science podcasting, this Borat character that you do.
Now, I will say this, and I mentioned this too, and this was something they brought up. I do send you the articles for the other show,
correct,
the main show we do. I send you those two articles usually the day before because I try,
correct,
to get it as quickly as possible, but get you some chance to kind of review it so that we can speak educatedly about the situation. You can actually look at the article and have some idea of what we're talking about and stuff like that. So those ones you do have a day before. The other ones you get right before. You do not have time to look them up.
Yeah. Let me just say, sitting down, getting that email and seeing... the date of civilization was moved back 30,000 years. And then, like, sitting in front of a keyboard trying to write a joke for that. Let me just say, it's about 2 minutes till I go to porn on that window. 2 minutes.
First of all, if civilization was going back to 30,000 years, that'd be huge news. Oh, never mind. I can't. Let's do I Call BS.
I call.
Ring, ring.
I call BS.
All right, I call BS, the game where I read four science news articles, and Damien tries to figure out whether or not they are science or bad science. Damien, are you ready to play?
I'm ready to participate in this charade.
I mean, I'm ready to get out there and beat Hulk Hogan in the ring, brother. Oh, don't God. You worry. It's Sunday night. Hulk Hogan, by the way, what am I? I'm the, what does middle America hate? I'm the guy who uses both bathrooms.
Wait, is this some kind of trans activist version of Macho Man Randy Savage?
No, actually, I think this guy's actually just a pervert. I don't want to give trans people a bad name. No. This okay. guy's just, I'm just, oh, gotcha.
I am somebody who clearly identifies as a heterosexual cis male, and I just like going into both bathrooms. Hulk Hogan, you're going down this Sunday.
You know how you can tell that he's definitely a cisgendered male? No gay would be caught dead with a Slim Jim.
It is hanging in his overall pocket.
All right, Damien, article number one. A new paper suggests that using poison to control dingo populations makes dingoes bigger. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. Poison and headlocks be killing dingoes like crazy. The only way to make a dingo bigger is with care and love, things that I didn't receive in the ring. Growing up in the ring.
Well, I would actually say that if you really are a professional wrestler, then another way to make dingoes bigger, which you may be familiar with, would be anabolic steroids.
That's right. I could use a tag team partner. Perhaps some steroids and some wild animals would make a combination. That's right, Hulk Hogan. I got the power of nature on my side.
It's Macho Man Randy Savage and the Roided Dingo, which is either, by the way, a great wrestling tag team or a middling morning radio show.
I mean, really, when you say that what you just, the roided out dingo, I think of a jacked Australian who portrays all the same stereotypes that we portray on this show every time we bring up Australia. He doesn't know what a knife is. Or he knows way better than everybody else what a knife is.
I imagine most of philosophy in Australia is based around the existence or non-existence of knife qualities within any particular object.
It actually is a major at Melbourne University.
Damien, this is actually science. It's pretty interesting research. So this has been seen in some other animals because basically size is a defense against poison, or more accurately, natural selection in a poison-rich environment favors larger size, as the larger the animal, the larger of the dose of poison it can ingest and still survive. So it makes it statistically less likely to die if you are larger than if you're smaller. So they went back and looked at skulls of dingoes in the museum and tracked skull size over the past 90 years. And tracked the difference as poison use became widespread in the 1960s and 70s. In areas where that kind of poison and bait was used, they saw a 6% increase in male size and a 9% increase in female size, also hinting at the poison being the cause of that increase because the males grew slightly less than the females. Males start out already larger. They already have some body size to defeat some of that poison. They don't need to get as big as the females do.
See, I don't get this. Let's just give them just enough poison. I want a poison that takes out entire ecosystem. I want VX gas.
Yeah, they're not doing it on purpose, dude. It's not like they're trying to pull like Wesley from The Princess Bride. Like they just put the poison out there, and then at some point, you know, two dingoes are going to eat this one piece of poison. And if they're one of them's 20 pounds and one of them's 40 pounds, and the 40-pound one might survive when the 20-pound one dies.
All I'm saying is that if you just drop bricks of cyanide and like just sprayed sugar on it or something, you'd kill a lot more dingoes.
Also known as a Guatemalan lollipop. It's not, I apologize to people in Guatemala, but...
What, their desserts aren't good enough for you, Bobby, in this show?
Article number two, a new artificial liver made out of mushroom fibers has been tested on children for the first time, indicating a possible solution to congenital liver disease. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science, and even though kids know it will save their life, they still will not let that mushroom into their body.
Oh, that's right, you hate mushrooms.
Well, I mean, children, who some would argue are the wisest among us. I mean, from the mouth of babes, right?
Nobody would argue that, yeah.
I mean, they don't have preconceived notions about science or fact. You know, they just come in...
dumb.
Yep.
And unable to process things well.
And people don't judge them for it.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, Damien, sorry, this is bad science. I just totally made that shit up. But a new artificial pancreas system was tested on kids and found to be safe and effective. It had been previously tested on adults, but it's geared towards type 1 diabetes, which is particularly hard for kids to control because You have to constantly monitor your blood glucose. You have to constantly adjust it, way more than type 2 diabetes. Again, usually little kids don't have type 2 diabetes anyway. And one of the big things is, even when you monitor it while you're awake, you can fall asleep. And if you go too long, you could be perfectly fine when you go to sleep. And you could literally go into a coma and die if you sleep too long because your blood sugar could be not monitored correctly. So it's really dangerous for kids with type 1 diabetes. So it was really important to finally try this artificial pancreas on children, which they did. So the machine is basically a glucose monitor, which is also hooked up to an insulin pump, which you wear on your hip. And then it monitors your blood glucose level. When it drops to a certain level, it puts insulin in. When it drops or raises, you know, you can put insulin in, and therefore you can basically do the same thing your pancreas normally does in healthy people, but with people with type 1 diabetes. Now, you have to walk around with this thing, the insulin pump, outside your body, which you have to do anyway, you know, if you have an insulin pump. So it's not quite an artificial organ in the sense that it's in your body. It's mainly outside, but it is functioning basically like the normal organ, and it's totally artificial. Now, what I would like to see, because I've always said, next to like the bladder, like those simple things, the pancreas is a really easy organ for us to mechanize, because all it does is monitor glucose levels, like a pool boy, monitor those glucose levels, and then change them if they need changing. Add some chlorine, add some insulin, you know, do that kind of thing.
Oh my God, my pancreas got high and forgot to show up and monitor my glucose.
That's better than me, man. I'll tell you what, my pancreas banged my wife while I was at work.
I had cameras. I knew.
So, like, theoretically, at some point, I expect us to have internal versions of this. Now, how you would get the insulin into the internal pancreas, you'd probably still need a port or something like that. But having the entire system internalized seems to me like it would be, you know, a huge improvement. Because as somebody who recently walked around with a port and a thing sticking out and a tube and the whole nine yards, that shit sucks, man. Once or twice it got caught on a door handle or something when I was walking by, and it was incredibly painful. And, you know, instead, if you just had a port that you would open every once in a while to fill with insulin, but in general didn't have tubes sticking out of you, your life is much better.
Yeah, like the comic book version of Bane made having extra holes in your body surgically put there seem way cooler. I constantly stack these on door handles as well. Very few doors are meant for dudes with huge traps, bro.
Dude, let me tell you, if you ever get into a fight with Bane, just pull on those things. It's incredibly painful.
Please do not do that. They are connected to my cardiovascular system.
Article number 3, the continent of Africa has been declared free of wild polio. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is science. Take that, polio. Now your main concern is Christian missionaries trying to convince you not to get vaccinated.
Or trying to kill all the gay people in Uganda.
Yeah, you know what? There's a lot of problems. You know, and Africa's a big country. It's hard to generalize.
Big country, huh?
It's a big continent.
Fucking Sarah Palin, you are indeed.
Listen, I can see Africa from my house.
Damien, this is science. Now, I will get into what wild polio is, too, because that is like a funny connotation. Like, I feel
it's
like
a version of polio. It has pistols and it shoots and it goes like, yee-haw!
Oh, you went a different route. See, in my mind, like, there was no polio running around in like the forest. But if you went, there was some like African herdsmen who had fenced in some polio and were raising it for milk and meat.
Polio artisans seek out these. You know,
wild polio.
You know, just keep going.
So what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean like all of a sudden there was no polio there. We actually got rid of polio. The last confirmed reported case of polio was in Nigeria in 2016. And what we did get is to a level of vaccination that is 95% of the population, which is basically what we need to have herd immunity so that even if there were little spring ups, it won't happen. Basically, wild polio is extinct in Africa, and that's amazing. It's super cool. It is the result of people like Bill and Melinda Gates. It is the result of huge medical...
George Soros. It is the result of Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Since like the 1950s, it is one of the greatest humanitarian efforts, the eradication of polio that swept through, you know, the first world and everywhere else. It has now swept through Africa. One of the last holdouts was Nigeria. Now Africa is completely vaccinated with wild polio. Before we get into what non-wild polio is, Damien, can you guess the last two countries on Earth that still have wild polio?
Pakistan and America. because I'm a patriot, and that's always, I'm always just like, I'm always going to put Tom Brady on people I want to have sex with. I'm always going to put America on countries I want to have sex with.
Well, you got half of that right. Pakistan was right. It's actually Pakistan and Afghanistan. Those are the only two places that still have wild polio. So it is on its way out. And if we can get some agreement with Pakistan and Afghanistan and get in there, like, it would have been gone by now, except for a few issues that we have had culturally with them thinking that
we killed Bin Laden, sterilize. And we lied.
Well, yeah, we did. We were looking for Bin Laden, and we were taking some DNA samples, and then that made them think that we were actually injecting them with something that was making them infertile. It was like a whole big controversy, and because of that, it's still around. We could have theoretically had this eradicated years ago, but it's still around. We are still on the way to doing it, and barring some kind of horrible thing, we will eradicate wild polio, not only within our lifetime, probably pretty soon. However, there is something else. There's something called vaccine-derived polio. This is really interesting. So the way this works is there's an oral polio vaccine. Now, polio, in case you guys don't know, it's a virus. It's one that is endemic in humans. So, like, basically, we think it only infects us. But what happens is when you get it, you then excrete it in fecal matter and stuff, and it gets into waterways. And once it gets into people's mouths, usually that way, but it can get in there a lot of other ways, then that is how it's spread. Now, in certain cases, it can cause things like paralysis. What's interesting is that polio used to be essentially like almost 100% of people had it. It's a really interesting story. It's like, especially in certain environments, basically 100% of people had it because they had open sewers and all of this stuff. But kids were exposed to it when they're very young. So the only real deaths were babies under like 6 months old. And this was when hygiene was really bad in like the 17, 1800s and stuff. Then the 1900s come around and people start cleaning up. They get closed and closed sewer systems. Kids aren't playing in it and they're not exposed to it anymore. So now they catch it when they're older. Instead of getting it when they're like 2 or 3 or 4, they get it when they're 9 or 10. And when they get it when they're 9 or 10, they get paralyzed. And so actually, sanitation made polio dangerous. Before that, essentially everybody had polio and it didn't do anything to you. It's a really, really interesting story. But we have now dealt with this horrible disease. So what happens with vaccine-derived polio is we give somebody a polio vaccine. It's an oral one. It's a drop. Their body then processes it. Now, it doesn't turn into anything bad in their body, but they excrete out something that if they then have bad sewer systems, somebody else can then catch. So it's like the polio vaccine didn't get that person sick, but it caused them to put out material that could get other people sick. If that mutates enough, like it goes throughout a community and mutates and mutates and mutates and mutates, eventually that can become a type of polio that can paralyze somebody. It's not when it starts out, but it could do that if left untreated for long enough periods of time.
Is this theoretical? Has this happened?
It has happened, but let me give you some numbers. Since 2000, more than 10 billion, with a B, doses of the oral polio vaccine have been administered to nearly 3 billion children worldwide. That is because it's 3 doses. As a result, more than 13 million cases of polio have been prevented, and the disease has been reduced by more than 99%. During that time, 24 vaccine-derived polio outbreaks occurred in 21 countries, resulting in fewer than 760 cases of polio. So basically, we, in doing this, prevented 13 million cases and caused 760 cases. So the numbers are overwhelming there that it's still a good thing. Now, eventually, at some point, when all wild polio is gone, vaccine-derived polio would be the only kind of stuff we would get. But even then, like, so think about it. If a place is thoroughly enough vaccinated, it doesn't matter if some vaccine-derived polio is going around in some open sewers because everybody else is vaccinated anyway, so it's not going to catch on. So no matter what, once you get to certain vaccination numbers, it all goes away. And it looks like within our lifetime, similar to smallpox, you will no longer see polio as a disease in human beings. That is really, really cool, and it's one of those, like, milestones of science, you know, getting on the moon, eradicating a disease from the population. It's going to be a really cool thing to see.
It should have been herpes.
And lastly, article number 4, a paper this week outlines how implanting fat cells in mice caused them to lose weight. Damien, this is science or bad science?
This is science. You essentially gave them a permanent built-in weight system that they can use. Your average mouse, fairly athletic, running around.
Oh,
well,
I see.
What you did is you just upped the weight on the bars.
It's like you put an ankle weight on them.
Yeah, they're still going to do the same amount of running.
Nah.
But guess what? Now they're stronger. Now you just threw a weighted backpack on them, or the ankle weight, as you said.
Interesting. Okay, well, this is science, Damien. They were actually specially engineered brown fat cells. So brown fat actually burns energy instead of storing it, and it's used at least in part to generate heat. So we see this a lot in animals. The more brown fat they have, the more they just generally burn through everything. In human beings, the proportion of brown fat to white fat is usually related to whether or not you are obese. So what they did is they took some white fat cells and they engineered them to become brown fat cells and injected them into the mice. And compared to a normal control group that had the same living conditions, same everything else, the ones with the brown fat cell injections lost a lot of weight. So what they saw is that these fat cells are essentially signaling other fat cells around them to get going, to start burning stuff up, and they continually burn up energy, thereby basically making a bigger caloric need of that particular animal in any given day, and therefore, with the same food intake, they get skinnier. It hints that there might be a similar thing in human beings, because again, we've seen the same correlation of brown fat and white fat to weight loss in humans. So this might be a really, really neat future possible treatment for obesity. It might be a way we kick people back into gear who do get too fat. You give them some the right brown fat and you start burning shit really fast, and that combined with diet and exercise, you get them into shape for long term.
As somebody who started running recently, get this into Walmarts now.
Right.
Let me inject non-Crisco fat into me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we can all use we all use something that knocks that fat down. All right, thank you, audience, for joining us for 482, where you learned all about how poison can make dingoes bigger, how an artificial pancreas may be the hope of all children with type 1 diabetes, how Africa has just been declared free of wild polio, and how implanting fat cells can actually make you skinnier. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 483.
Hulk Hogan, while I was busy distracting you in the ring, my partner Dingo went home and took your baby. Your move, Hoganator.
You've been listening to Science Function. Wait, that's not right.